About 20 years ago, I was asked to help plan and participate in a week-long seminar about preaching for the priests of the Diocese of Wilmington, Delaware. And in planning for the week, we decided we wanted at least one or two of the presentations to be from people from the pews about what they think about preaching. Talk about a sensitive issue. So we invited a woman to come whose name is Leslie Kobylinski, a TV producer. And in those days, Leslie Kobylinski was the producer of Larry King Live. And for those of you who don't know who that was Anderson Cooper by way of Piers Morgan. Thank you. One thing she said stuck with me forever. She said to the priest, "When you preach, don't use theological jargon. You may know what you're talking about, but the folks don't always. So be very careful of jargon." For example, she says, this is 20 years ago, when you say Paschal Mystery, 90% of the people's eyes will glaze over, and they will think Jessica Fletcher in Murder, She Wrote, or the Alfred Hitchcock Hour, or Ruth Rendell novels, or Dan Brown. They will think mystery stories. But then she said, if you talk about being sick and suffering and premature death and people in hospice care looking for meaning in their lives, then they will know what you're talking about. And if you talk about the fact that Christ does not abandon them because he died and rose, they will know what you're talking about. The mystery of suffering affects us all. Think about it. Someone you know who recently had to move to assisted living had to leave a home she loved, beautiful furnishings, to go to two rooms for the next phase of life, which we all know is the last one. How hard that is. Last Tuesday, I was in Davenport, Iowa, to speak at St. Ambrose University and stayed with the priest chaplain, a buddy of mine, who the previous Friday preached at a funeral for a 3-year-old boy who was struck dead in a car accident. The motorist simply did not see him running after a basketball. My neighbor in the co-op lived next to me, been a regular patient at Lombardi MedStar Georgetown for a couple of years. It's the last roundup. Daily hospice care to the co-op. You know them. We are they, and they are us. Suffering happens to all of us. What's going on in today's gospel is how to deal with death and to name real life and what resurrection means. In a few moments, you and I will sing the acclamation at Mass that's called the Memorial Acclamation. And we'll sing, "When we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim your death, Lord Jesus, until you come in glory." That's what this is all about. It's always the dying and rising of Christ and our sharing it in it at this altar and in prayer for one another. The liturgy is the way when we are invited into the Paschal mystery. You can take it now. The dying and rising of Christ and our dying and rising in him. Because the liturgy is a place not where we watch the Paschal mystery or observe it. Rather, we're not passive before it. The Paschal mystery happens so that when you and I name our sicknesses, our defeats, our near-death experiences, and the death of loved ones, then we know that Paschal mystery, dying and rising, is the heart of the matter, and it is the measure of life. But we don't always get it right, and that's why we need to come here to be with each other, to proclaim that mystery at this altar. It was somewhere during Sociology 101 in college that I realized that I grew up in an ethnic neighborhood. I didn't know that. I thought all neighborhoods were one-third Irish, one-third Italian, one-sixth African-American, and one-sixth Jewish. There were other neighborhoods? I knew not. And I loved listening to the first generation Irish, because could they talk and talk and talk and talk and talk? And some of them mastered the ability to talk on the exhale and the inhale. I never got there. And sometimes they had something to say. But I was always amazed at how they would turn phrases. They would never say, it is, they would say, tis. Thank you, Malachy McCourt, second book, tis, I got it. And they would not say yes or no, they would say, I am. I love that, I am not, I am. Well, it turns out, first generation Irish neighbors were great Johannine scholars, because every time they hear the word I am in the Gospel of John, listen up. This is Jesus' self-revelation. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. I am the resurrection and the life. That's the punchline. And that, in fact, is the heart of the matter. Now, what we need to do in light of that very hopeful text is to examine our lives and say to ourselves, well, what is that about baptism and death and living? And I want to say this to the RCIA folks here this morning. At the Easter Vigil, you will die. You will die to sin and falsehood and all the things that weigh us down in this life. And you will rise with Christ. And from then on, every breath you breathe is the breath of God within you. Every step you take is a step you take on the way of God's paths of righteousness and justice. After baptism, you are never the same, because you have died in Christ, and the rest of life is looking forward to the last passage, to life eternal. Two invitations. One is, we get to put to death things in life that weigh upon us, that burden us, that cause us difficulty, our compulsions, our addictions. Some things need to be put to death. And then there is the fact that we help others in their dying phases to be with them in their need, otherwise known as the corporal works of mercy in this year for mercy. Now, those of us with laminated AARP cards can tell them by heart, feed the hungry, drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, harbor the homeless, visit the sick, ransom the captive, bury the dead. Let's focus on three briefly and how they can apply to how you and I can help others in their last stages of life. Feed the hungry, visit the sick, and bury the dead. Let's go back to the example in the beginning of the homily. People getting cancer care, chemotherapy. It's almost hard to say it because I'm going to say I had that last year at this time. And visiting the sick, sometimes people were able to do that by using what I call the electronic sweatshop. And often I say, silence the cell phones. Not this afternoon. Use this to FaceTime the sick, or email the sick, or text the sick, or make an appointment to visit them. And even on those days when they can't answer it, they know they are not alone. You're helping them in their weakness. And if you go, bring homemade soup. Not Progresso. Show them that you love them, and when they can eat, which is not always, your face is there when they heat up that soup, which is all they can eat. Feed the hungry, visit the sick. Family members who move to assisted living, to go visit them, text them, FaceTime them, and even then, even as good as the food is, take them out for a meal, because no food is all that good in an institution. And maybe pick up a bunch of tulips at Whole Foods. They're $4 a piece. In the parents of a premature death of a child, the funeral in Davenport was packed. But I wondered a week later what's happening to that family and who's there with them to support them in burying the dead and being part of their life. I was back in time for the Mass on Wednesday evening and heard a person give an intercession for someone who the Mass was offered, who obviously died young in life to be a son, an uncle, a godparent. And I thought to myself, that person's heart is broken today as it was whenever that funeral was. And friends came to help in her in her mourning. That's what it means to share each other's burdens in the resurrection and the life. And hospice care. A priest will come this afternoon to visit me and visit our neighbor. He's out of town, and he will not be back for several weeks. We've shared their company many times, enjoyed the company very, very much. This will be his latest visit, probably his last. The privilege of being with her, anoint her, communion, we're in this together. That's what Paschal mystery means. That Christ died for us, that we who now live, live in Christ's life, and can share that life with each other. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. And we share that at this altar and with each other. The TV producer wanted to make sure we didn't use jargon. She was right. But she was also right. If you name the suffering and you name hope, they're with you.